Welcome to the second very first episode of this podcast. How is that possible? A second episode, very first, magic. Simple as that. Also, we did a test episode before this. A test episode that shall never see the light of the airwaves. Not because it wasn't great content, it was, but because it was recorded under the assumption that it was a test episode. It'd be wrong for me to release that episode. So you can shut your mouth now, audience. Stop being so noisy about our business.
I'm glad you finally addressed their criticisms, because we clearly know what those are.
We do. This is the second, very first episode.
Exactly.
So let me start off by answering a few questions that you probably have inside your head, audience, or you're saying them out loud if you're a crazy person. What are you listening to? You're listening to a podcast that's about marketing, but also not about marketing. I don't know how that works. It just does. Trust me, it's written here. I have to read it. Some may think that another marketing podcast is unnecessary, and those people, they are probably right. And that leads us to my next question, the differentiator. Who are we? We are a group of coworkers with a shared love of marketing, specifically as it relates to search engine optimization, user experience, and copywriting and content marketing. More specifically, I'm Caleb. I am the senior product manager of SEO here at this company that we work for, which we're not quite sure whether or not we want to name. Across from me over there is Anna. She is an SEO specialist. You can say hi, Anna, if you want.
Hello.
Aw, that was nice. Over there is Jeremy. He is playing with his computer.
And resident Pokemon Master. I just want to get that out in the open. I don't want anyone to try to fight me for that, because you will be defeated.
But if they do fight you about it, you'll get more XP.
Well, I'm already the champion.
And over there is Kim, the one who is appropriately ignoring this conversation.
Yes.
Kim is a content specialist. How are you, Kim?
I'm good. How about you, Caleb?
I was doing good until this whole Pokemon stuff started going down.
Well, sorry, you're a weak trainer.
God, I hate all of you. And who are you, most importantly of all, you lovely audience, you? You are probably someone interested in marketing, either as a professional marketing person, or marketer, as they're also called, a hobbyist, or a business owner, or just someone who's nerdily interested in this subject. Right away, too, I must also disclaim, the opinions expressed are not necessarily reflective of those of our employer. So if you're offended, please do not get us fired. For example, that movie Sidekicks, you guys remember that movie? Chuck Norris? Jonathan Brandis? Pretty good. I don't know if our company is going to risk the reputation they built up to go out on a limb to say that that was a good movie. But it was.
Risky.
Everybody's giving me horrible looks.
We believe you, Caleb.
So the topic for today is why should we evangelize marketing? I felt it was an appropriate topic for the very first episode of this podcast. Because
first, second.
Thank you very much for calling me out on that. This first, second episode of the podcast. Why evangelize marketing? Why should we talk about marketing? Why is this podcast important? That's a very general bunch of questions, but I am going to ask it just so. Why should we talk about marketing?
For me, from the content copywriting standpoint, you know, what we're putting in front of our audience is becoming more and more important to that audience. They're having more and more control, especially on a digital standpoint, what is being put in front of them through, you know, ad blockers and this whole responsible ads effort. I don't say that condescendingly whatsoever. You know, but I think they have a point. And I think we're all also marketed too. And, you know, I think that by talking about it with people who are, you know, both in the industry and hopefully even people who are not in the industry, that'll open up that conversation for, you know, what do you want to see? Almost like, for lack of a better term, a crowdsourcing marketing effort.
And along with Kim, I agree completely with your points about consumer advocacy. And I think another reason to talk about marketing is how fast it changes. You know, digital marketing is so new, but at the same time, it's old enough for there to be such a thing as traditional digital marketing. And now there's content marketing, there's user experience, there's all these different bundles and aspects. And it's hard to be both a specialist and a generalist. And so we have the opportunity here as specialists to talk about what's going on in our field, what's going on in your field, and build our common knowledge.
So I guess to combine those two a little bit, the general consensus seems to be partly education, simply just to make sure that people understand all of the changes that are happening, both people who are being marketed to and the marketers themselves. It's just a lot of education. And then also a lot of, for lack of a better way of saying it, data gathering, so that we can market better and more effectively. Mm-hmm. Data gathering from Kim's point, and then education from Anna's point. And that's, I think, important overall to be make sure that we're marketing effectively, because if you don't market effectively, isn't it true that people will eventually turn a deaf ear and they won't really pay attention anymore? And you want your marketing, you're running to your message to get through to people, and you want it to be concise, unlike myself, obviously. And you want them to, you know, you want them to be receptive to the message, because as soon as they turn off of it, your marketing is no longer effective.
Yeah, I mean, we're basically drowning in advertising nowadays. There's so much of it out there everywhere we turn. But it doesn't mean that if you start screaming louder, you're going to be heard in that crowd. In fact, the louder you scream, more and more, the more people turn away from it. And we have to learn how to advertise those people in an effective way that they want to hear.
The more invested somebody is from the get-go, the more they're going to be invested in the results. Obvious, that's an obvious statement. But what I mean is, with these crowdsourcing efforts, this effort, I want to make this product, I don't have the money, help me get there. And people, if they really are interested in this idea, they'll jump on, they'll just hand their money away. And, then in another turn, from a marketing standpoint, the success of, Doritos in all of the Super Bowl, person-made campaigns, stuff that they didn't do, stuff that individuals, made these commercials, they were extremely successful, and after a really long run they're finally moving on from it. But I think that these are great examples. Also, all these really silly but effective insurance ads you're seeing, where they're doing like a YouTube compilation of viral videos, those things people are interested in.
Have you guys seen those? I think they're South Korean insurance ads that will make you cry. They tell a whole video story in like 20
right.
minutes. Yeah, about the woman whose father dies, or the young deaf student. They're heart-wrenching, and they very much play them as films, and they're not advertisements until the very, very end, where they say, and by the way, you should buy health insurance.
Well, I think from a social standpoint, it's important to talk about marketing, just because more people are attuned to it more now than ever. More me specifically, whenever I see an advertisement or a promotion or an offer, my first thought is always, what are they really trying to sell me? What's the real thing going on here? And I think there's been a big push in our society for transparency, for honesty, for understanding what's really going on behind the scenes. And, marketing back in the day could be very sketchy. It could be a lot of snake oil and magic and smoke and mirrors and all that. So I think, speaking specifically for today in our society, having honest advertising is such a huge deal. People are more attuned to it now more than ever.
Is the definition of marketing and advertising changing in a way that it's two-way now, whereas before, in the days of used car salesmen, snake oiled kind of things, to use that that derogatory association,
magic snake oil,
they used
full of tapeworms.
It's very effective, though, those diet pills, very effective. One way in the past, it was the advertiser pushing upon the advertisee, and now there's a higher level required of the advertiser to get from the advertisee to understand who the advertisee is. I think a great example is, and has been going on for a long time, is AdWords, Google AdWords, the little ads that appear on the right side in the top of the search engine results. In order for those to be relevant and for users to actually engage with those ads, Google requires quite a bit of information about that advertiser, kind of not only just the search they're looking for, but also a lot of the data that's implied by that search, so that the ads are relevant, so that users continue to go for it. And I think that users, from my perspective anyway, I would say that I appreciate that, and I kind of want that. I want marketers to know a little bit about me so that they can give me ads that do make sense to me. So is it more that marketing isn't just a way to sell things, it's almost a way to understand an entire consumer journey with the ultimate goal, sure, of selling things.
Oh, see, I mean, I agree. Like, if I see an ad for Christian singles dating, obviously I'm not going to use that service. That's just irritating to see. That just disrupts what I'm trying to read about. On the other hand, if I see an ad for, like, a cute bundle of tea, I'm like, I like tea. I'm much more likely to click on that. And not only am I more likely to buy it, but I, in fact, don't mind seeing it. It's not an annoying advertisement. It's just now part of the page that I'm viewing. And I think social media might even be a better example than AdWords of the way that now, instead of just shouting out into the ether, we have consumers coming to us as marketers. You know, if I'm on Twitter, I'm not going to see anything a company puts out unless I'm following them specifically, mm-hmm. or if I'm following a hashtag they've contributed to. And so I'm not faced with the advertising. I have to go out and see it and see what they're saying in order to be a part of that conversation. So we're tuning into what they're asking for and responding appropriately instead of just sending one message out for everybody.
You must not get ads in your Facebook feed.
No, I have ad block.
Oh,
there we go.
And we're full circle.
Well, in terms of traditional marketing, it comes down to a push versus pull campaign. It used to be you could push your marketing and that would get you results. And now today, I don't think you can really do such a thing. You really have to pull people in. That's how you earn organic traffic, and that's how you pretty much have to run your AdWords campaigns. Like, even for paid media, you have to bring something that people want to see. You have to give them a reason to give their attention to you. So in traditional marketing, you know, they always talk about push versus pull marketing, and it's more pull now more than ever.
I think with the ubiquity of the like concept, the idea that the more you engage with a company or the more you even engage with your peers online, the more refined ads are going to be. And while I think as a whole we appreciate that much better than the sort of a shotgun approach, there's an interesting limit that I've noticed where a user, just because they like a product or like a brand, doesn't necessarily mean that they actually want to be marketed by that brand. So the brand has to continue to go even further and further to try to refine their message. A good example is if you visit a website and you get a pop-up interstitial or some sort of pop-up ad that asks you to sign up for their emailing list or is trying to sell one of their products, just by nature of you going to that website, you're in a way saying, I want to be marketed by this website because I'm going there. That's me inviting this communication, but I don't necessarily want to be marketed to with a Lightbox ad pop-up that comes right to my face. But you know, in old school terms, you're still inviting that exchange. So it seems normal that you would want to show a pop-up ad, but users are sort of becoming, you know, the idea of engaging with a brand is just something you do so often. And so it's such a normal thing that it no longer has the power that it once did, I don't think.
No, and I definitely think that, you know, us communicating about these things, you know, whether it's most likely towards, you know, others in the industry or, you know, those that we're, you know, marketing to, that, you know, it opens that dialogue and it gives us, like Anna said earlier, or Jeremy, I can't remember, said it's a way for us to be better marketers in general. And I think that's why I don't think we're having enough of a discussion about it. I think that the industry as a whole is somewhat hated. Mm-hmm. By people. And, you know, I think that while some of it is definitely earned, you know, there's quite a bit of misconception and misunderstanding in, you know, what we're trying to do. And I think that, you know, by speaking about it and, you know, being honest about it and authentic about it, that, you know, hopefully we can dispel some of these ideas or change the things that we are doing wrong.
This sounds like a support group for a series of people with physical deformities.
Sometimes,
like,
when you tell people that you're a copywriter in particular or you're in marketing, I get harassed for that really annoying ad that keeps popping up on their news article.
Some people have seven arms, okay? Gosh, they just need to leave us alone, you know? It's interesting because I feel the same way, that it's that people with seven arms are gross, but also because being marketed to feels it feels like you're being attacked in a way to be marketed to all the time. I think what's important is that few people realize that a lot of the things that they do love, the products that they do love, are as a result of marketing, whether they really realize it or not. And this isn't to say that marketing has to be subversive or has to sneak its way, you know, into your brain, but a friend of yours could have been motivated by a particular ad or a particular billboard and taken action, and then that friend of yours tells you about the product and you think, oh, it's this friend is telling me about this and that's why I got into it, but really it's because your friend was initially motivated by some sort of ad. So I bet if you were to dig deep enough into the roots of really any any purchase decision, there's going to be marketing in there somewhere.
Yeah. You know, right now the internet is supported by ads, and we may find a way to offer free content with that advertising support in the future. But for right now, ads need to exist for us to get what we want out of the internet. And so that means we need to have advertising exist. Now, obviously, we'd like the advertising to be better and more narrowly focused on our own personal interests. And the more we can do to help people get to that point, the better. But also, you know, obviously, it's not something evil coming out of nowhere. It's a part of our ecosystem that right now needs to exist.
If you look at any sort of app developer on the mobile platform, they often have a free version that's supported with ads as opposed to a paid version. And it's surprising how much more those developers make off the ad version than they do the paid version. Like, mm-hmm. it's incredible how, I'm not going to say lazy, but people are just like, I don't want to pay for that. I'll sit through a few ads or whatever. And they just kind of suck it up and take it and end up giving that developer way more money through ads than they would if they just paid the developer directly.
Yeah. Well, and it's not coming out of their pocket directly, which is obviously why they would go for the free version as opposed to the paid version. It is, and that brings it back to the whole concept of ubiquity, is that, you know, we expect to have a pre-roll, we expect to have banner ads, we expect those kinds of things. So you know, in a lot of ways we deal with it, but, you know, if marketing is done well, and I think that's ultimately what the point of this episode is turning out to be, is that if marketing is done really, really well, then it benefits all parties. It benefits the consumer, it benefits the advertiser, it benefits the media partner, obviously, if you're paying for ad placements or something like that. So it just has to be done really, really well. And unfortunately, it's done very terribly a lot of times. And I think that's why we, almost without encouraging it, I got the sense everyone was talking about, and I think Kim first brought it up, the idea that people are anti-marketing in a lot of ways. And so, and we brought that up sort of organically, because it's obviously something that's on our minds, but no one ever said, hey, let's talk about how terrible marketing is. It's just that's the assumption. And so it's sad that marketing has taken on that connotation in a lot of people's heads, even though it's very beneficial when done correctly and done effectively.
In summary, hooray capitalism.
Hooray!
You're trying to tell me that good marketing is good?
What? Not only that, but several other things that are prefaced by the word good turn out to be good.
Good golly.
That's one of them. There are three others. Anybody else? Three others.
Chili.
Good chili. Yep, that is one. Good sense.
Butterflies.
So close, you guys. So close.
So we've talked about what's currently facing marketing today, and that's that consumers are aware. They are okay with being marketed to in a way that respects their interests. They're not interested in being marketed to in a way that interrupts their experience at the time or shows them things they're not interested in or are even morally opposed in. What we need to do is get marketing to a point where we're giving them what they need and what they want, because they do want advertising when it's appropriate. And how we do that is by educating ourselves as marketers, and also educating the community about here's what's going on. So here's what you might want to look for. Here's how you can support advertisers who are doing it right. And here's how to block advertising that you don't think is effective.
Well done, Anna. Well done. That about wraps up this very first / second episode, or whatever it was I said at the beginning, the second very first episode of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Tell your friends about it, because it's good.